Last week I mentioned, in an effort to encourage you to pick up one of the spiritual swords and read it and study it, that I was going to have a lesson from one of them sometime. And this morning I chose that time to be today. The lesson I want us to focus on this morning was in the October issue of the Spiritual Sword, and it was called Why the Church of Christ is Different. Why the Church of Christ is Different, written by a very faithful gospel preacher, David Farr, lives in South Carolina. And this is pretty indicative of the type of material you will find in the Spiritual Swords over the years. They have just some great, great material. I've certainly modified somewhat what he has written, but certainly the general ideas are found in that particular article. And as we go along, I want you to think about if you were, quote, raised in the church or if you were not. Think about how the Church of Christ is different. How the Church of Christ is different. The first thing I want us to focus on, though, is that there is a temptation for us to just go along. There's a temptation for us to just go along. Many Christians today, unfortunately, want to just fit in. They want to be like other religious people. They don't want to stand out. They don't want to be different in their beliefs. They don't want to be different in their practices. They're afraid to speak out against the sins of our society. And instead, they want to be friends with the world. Well, the Bible is very clear about the dangers of being a friend with the world. James warns us about this in James chapter 4, verse 4. Let's read that together. James chapter 4, verse 4. James 4, verse 4. James writes, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Notice the contrast. If you want to be a friend with the world, you are making yourself an enemy of God. You cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God at the same time. He says you cannot do it. So we might want to fit in with the world. We might not want to stand out in our religious beliefs and practices. But if we are going to be a faithful member of the Lord's church, our beliefs and practices will stand out. It's inevitable that they will, because they clash with the beliefs and practices of the world. So obviously, they will stand out. Even during the time that Christ lived on earth, some who believed in Him and wanted to follow Him were more concerned about pleasing men than they were about pleasing God. I know this is hard for us to believe. They heard Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They saw what Jesus could do. Notice what this says. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, we'll read two verses, 42 and 43. John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. It's written, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." They believed in Christ, they believed in who He was, but they wouldn't take that to its logical conclusion. They wanted to be more friends with the world than they wanted to be friends with God. And so they were concerned about pleasing people. They didn't want to stand out. They didn't want to be different, even though they knew believing in Christ and following Christ would cause them to stand out and be different. Why? Because His teachings, His kingdom, His church, is different. But they made their decision. They said, no, I'm more comfortable with the beliefs of the world than with the beliefs of you. So I am not going to follow you. I'm not going to tell people that I believe in you. I'm not going to let it be known. I'd rather please men than please God. They were more concerned about their status in the synagogue than they were about their status with God. Jesus did not pull any punches. He warned His followers that believing in Him and following Him would come at a cost. When you stand out, when you're different, when your practices and beliefs are different than the majority of the world, there are consequences to that. And Jesus made sure His followers knew that. He didn't paint some rosy, sugar-coated picture of what the future would be. He told them that things would be difficult. He told them that things would be hard because their beliefs were going to be different. In John chapter 15, He writes this. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 18. Jesus says to them, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." See, He's warning them. You're not of the world. You don't follow the world's beliefs and the world's practices. You don't do what the world does. Therefore, because you are different, the world will hate you. Well, how many people want to be hated? Well, we don't want to be hated. But Jesus says there's a choice, and you've got to make it. The choice is please men, please God. What's your choice? See, He wanted His followers, His disciples, to understand the consequences. If they didn't want to be hated by the world, then they did not need to believe and follow Him. Because believing in Him, following Him, would cause many in the world to hate them. Why? Because His kingdom, His beliefs, His church is different than any other in the world. He knew that in the first century, and it's the same thing today. It is different. So some give in to the temptation to please men. The Apostle Paul, though, was not one of them. Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes this. Galatians chapter 1. After he talked about how disappointed he was in them. Yes, the Apostle Paul tells the churches in Galatians he's disappointed in them, because they were turning away from Christ's gospel to the gospel of the world. And he says, I can't believe you're doing it. But you are. And so he was disappointed in them. So in verse 10 of Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." There's your choices again. Pleasing men, pleasing God. You cannot do both at the same time. So it's time to make choices. It's time to make decisions. Which is it going to be? Because following Christ, being in His church, is different, and you will stand out. And you will lose friends. You will lose family. You may lose resources and money and positions. Why? Because you're different. The world doesn't like different. But if you're going to follow Christ, you will be different. The second point, yes, there's a temptation to go along. There's also the call to be different. In other words, God, Christ, calls us to be different. In John chapter 17, Jesus says this in verse 14. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. See, we're called to be different, not of this world. We're called to be different. He wants us to be different. He knows we're going to be different. We follow a higher standard. We follow a higher law than the world follows. And I'm talking about the religious world, the atheistic world, whatever. They follow a different standard, a different rule. Therefore, we're going to stand out. He says, I'm calling you to be different. And you must be if you're going to follow me. In Philippians chapter 2, when Paul writes to those Christians living in Philippi, he tells them the following. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 14. Paul says to them that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Among him you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. We're to be what? We're to shine as lights in the world. He says this world is crooked, it's perverse, and it's dark. And that's the way the world likes it. And that's the way the world's always been. That's the way the world is now. That's the way the world will be. Up until the time Christ comes back, it will be crooked, perverse, dark, immoral, sinful, wicked, evil. It is not going to change. And therefore, because we're not wicked, sinful, evil, immoral, we're going to do what? We're going to stand out. Just like a pitch black room, when someone lights a candle or turns on a flashlight, that becomes very obvious. You can't hide, can you? In a pitch black room and you're holding a candle, everybody else in the room is going to know exactly where you are. Because you're shining as lights in the world. You're different. The world is in darkness, blackness, sin. You're not. You're standing out. You're different. It's inevitable. There's no way to get around that. You're going to be different. And many in the world will not like you. They won't. Jesus knew that. The apostles knew that. And the New Testament tells us that because we're different. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter writes to those Christians who were dispersed throughout that world. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, Peter writes, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They think it what? They think it's strange. They think it's strange. Why don't you go drinking with us? Why don't you go to these places with us? Why don't you go gamble with us? Why don't you do these things? They think it's strange. He says, people live like that. That's living like pagans. Christians do not live like that. They are different. They are called to be different. When we're called by the gospel to become a born-again Christian, he's calling us to be different. If we're following God, we are going to be different. We're going to stand out at school. We're going to stand out in the community. We're going to stand out at work. People will understand and know we are different. And Christ wants us to be different. He says, I want you to shine as lights in the world. The world's dark, evil, ugly, and immoral. says, I want you to shine as lights in the world. Show people how they should live. Most people do not want to be shown how to live. Therefore, the world doesn't like you. But that does not in any way take away from our responsibility to shine as lights in the world. We're not to join them. We're to show them an example. And the third point is, we need to tell others about Christ Church and it being unique. Christ Church is unique. It is not like any other religion, faith, church in the world. It is totally and completely different from every one of them. Completely different. Regardless of which one you might name, doesn't make any difference. The Lord's church is different from all of those. It's different from any of those. I just want to mention four ways, very briefly, that Christ's church is unique. Well, the church of Christ is different when we accept Christ as the only head of the church. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes to the church at Colossae. He tells them this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Verse 18 says, Colossians chapter 1, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Do you get that? He's the head of the church, the body, that he may have preeminence in all things. The Lord's church doesn't have councils, does not have synods, does not have conferences, does not have conventions, do not have committees. None of those make rules for the Lord's church. None of them. We have one head, and he has all authority. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, in Matthew's account of the Great Commission, Jesus said, all authority. That doesn't leave out any. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So there is absolutely no authority in any council or in any conference or in any committee or in any of those things. They have absolutely no authority or power whatsoever. Jesus is our only head. He's our only authority. The second thing is, the Church of Christ is different because the Bible is our only guide. In other words, we don't have manuals, we don't have disciplines, we don't have creeds, we don't have any of those things. This is the sum total right here. Scripture. The Bible guides us. And why does the Bible guide us? Because Jesus is our only head. It is God's Word. So that's why. It's inspired by God. Creeds and manuals and disciplines, none of those things are inspired by God, so we don't follow any of them. We follow God's Word and His Word exclusively. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, you recognize this, I know. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, Paul writes, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now notice verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what Scripture does. Not manuals, disciplines, or creeds. Scripture does that. Scripture alone does that. Supplies us with everything we need, makes us complete, thoroughly equips us for all that we need to do. The Church of Christ is different in that study of God's Word is necessary for every child of God. In other words, nobody tells me what I have to believe. Why? Because they don't have authority to do that. We don't have priests, we don't have bishops over groups of congregations, we don't have any of those things. There's no power in them. They don't have any authority, so no one tells me what I have to believe. The Bible tells me I must study God's Word to know what to believe. Because there's where the power and authority is. It doesn't lie with a person or people. It lies with God. And I can know what He wants. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If I want to be approved by God, what am I going to have to do? I have to be diligent in studying His Word. I have to handle it correctly. I have to divide it correctly. See, that's my responsibility. And that's your responsibility. I don't tell you what to believe, and you don't tell me what to believe. The Bible tells us what to believe. And the only way we can know that is by diligent study and effort on our part. And the fourth thing, we need to respect the silence of Scripture. The Church of Christ is different because it respects the silence of Scripture. But what do I mean by that? Very simply, I mean this. If something is not authorized, okay? If something is not authorized by God's Word, then I can't do it. I can't do it. I have no right to do it. I have no power to do it because it's not authorized by God's Word. And if I go ahead and do it without authority, then I have sinned in God's eyes. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's written this, verse 21. It's a short verse, but it's a powerful one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. God tells us, the Holy Spirit tells us, test all things. Hold fast what is good. Hold fast to what's acceptable. Hold fast to what God wants. But see, your responsibility, my responsibility, test all things. Is it authorized by God's Word or not? If it is, I should do it. I must do it. If it's not, I should not do it. And I'm not allowed to do it. See the responsibility and see how different those things are than all other religious faiths and churches and so forth. Yes, the Church of Christ is very different. Many others could be brought out. Those are very basic ones, very important ones, very relevant ones. Our Lord makes it very clear and obvious to us that He wants us to trust and obey Him, to submit to Him exclusively. Not to any person or group or committee or anything else, to Him and to Him only. He's to be our only Lord, our only Master, and His Word is our only guide and our only source of authority. Yes, we're going to stand out if we follow God's Word. But I know if we do follow God's Word, there is the crown of life waiting for us, the faithful. If you want to be a part of that faithful by being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, if you want to be continue to be considered acceptable in God's sight by asking for prayers and repenting and confessing, then I want you to consider that. Consider the words that David's going to lead us in this song. Look at the words. And if you need to respond, I want to encourage you, I want to urge you to do that as we stand and sing.